Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 25th. We're back with you. And Jen is sitting to my right instead of across from me today.
Not that anyone can ever see us, but I'm over here now.
It's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I know. Because we're having construction going on as we speak in here, and we didn't finish it on time. So if you hear some noise, pardon the dust, as they say. Pardon the noise. We do have a fascinating guest in the studio waiting. In a few minutes, we're going to get to him. And Jen, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Yes?
Yeah.
Good. Did you get some sleep this
morning? I did.
Oh, okay.
I did.
So you got to catch up.
Yes. Very I think good. I could still use a couple hours, but I caught up enough to function.
I know. I didn't sleep much. I had to get up at 6 today to be here for the construction. And so I barely got 4 hours last night. And but as you can see, I'm functioning.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing.
Right.
You know, coffee, my espresso machine sure comes in handy in the morning.
Yes, I am actually out of coffee still. My delivery comes today with 2 boxes of it. So I should be fine again tomorrow.
Really? Yeah. What, do you get delivery of coffee? You buy it online or something?
Everything. Online,
oh, really?
Always.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazon.
I know, huh? And then you're going to wonder why there's no Starbucks left anymore if we buy all the coffee.
No, I mean, normally I would go to Starbucks and get it, but I just didn't have time, so
yeah.
I had to order.
No, I mean, I'm kidding. It's just that we all prefer to go online because it's
right.
So easy, it's cheaper and everything, but all the stores are going away, you know?
Yep.
I went to Fry's Electronics last night, and it's like a ghost town there. And it used to be so busy, you couldn't even find parking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's quite a change, you know, what's going on in retail and shopping in general. But yeah, I love Amazon, you know, I get everything there. And often you can find things you can't find in the store.
Like what?
Like the long wires that I needed here, cables,
yeah.
Things like that, you know. You can't go to Best Buy and buy it, so you only have Fry's really. So even Amazon with a one-day shipment is better.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
A big selection, you know. So what coffee do you get? Do you get like a machine coffee?
Well, I have a Starbucks Verissimo.
What's
so
that?
It's like your espresso machine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I order the pods that go with it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So Starbucks has one too?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, imagine that. Do you have a foamer also, a frother?
I do. I don't use it.
No?
No.
Yeah. See, I like cappuccinos, man. So it's like all my entire cup is full of foam.
Yeah.
But I like that, you know. But yeah, coffee is not a bad idea.
No, you know? I mean, if you like coffee, I get it. And I like coffee. There's a lot of like studies that, you know, you should get off coffee or you should have only a certain amount of caffeine. I really love it.
Yeah.
Have like 1 to 2 cups a day.
Yeah. Were you raised drinking coffee from an early age in
no.
the morning? No.
I mean, I don't know what kid is raised drinking coffee, but.
Well, you know, I mean, let's say from the age of 10 or something. I don't know.
No, that's like, I think, illegal because that stunts
really?
Your growth. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my mom gave us coffee from the beginning. I never thought there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, they say caffeine stunts your growth.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and I'm sure it has other, you know.
Maybe I would have been a couple feet taller, but who knows, right?
Maybe. No, I started drinking coffee, I think, in college.
Okay.
Or maybe high school. It was high school. Because high school was pretty early and, like, you really had to care then.
Yeah.
So, and there was a gas station across the street. So every morning I would go get a coffee and a bagel. It was just like my routine. It made me happy and easier to get through class.
Oh, wow. That bagel sounds good now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually I'm not hungry this time, but since I got up early, I'm already feeling the hunger.
Yeah, I always eat breakfast.
Yeah, that's good. You see?
Yeah.
You got to do that. I don't do it because I'm not hungry in the morning, but I think maybe like fruit, anything.
Yeah,
right?
I eat anyway, even if I'm not hungry.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, but that's the thing also. You drink coffee and then you don't really feel like eating. At least that's what happens to
right.
me. And then later on I get hungry.
So,
you know.
You could eat a banana or something.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. How's Caitlin doing? Did she have fun here on the show?
She did. She's actually on her way to Mexico right now.
Really?
Yep.
What, vacation?
Yep.
Wow. How lucky is that, huh?
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I believe somebody asked her to like write about the hotel, so she is on her way there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are they paying for it, too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think flights, but I do definitely the stay.
Very nice. Yeah. Wow, maybe I should start writing.
Maybe.
Yeah. She writes for what? Like, a blog, right?
She's right.
Her own blog?
Right.
And they consider it important enough that they would pay for her way, huh?
Well, it's because of ratings and right. You know, how many people you have following.
Right.
Those numbers are important, man. That's what gets you...
That's true. That's what they want is the numbers, man.
Right. Because so it makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. So she must be pretty impressive with the numbers.
I think so. I think it was on some information she sent us if you want to look at it. It's like a lot, I think. She's a lot of followers.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how do you think you build a following like that?
Well, she said she got the following from the magazine she was working at before.
Okay.
They directed everyone. Remember, because they were closing, they sent everyone to her.
That's true. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty lucky, you know?
Yeah. You don't have being to in the right hard. Place at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, traffic is so hard to come by.
Right.
Yeah.
I think otherwise you need to either be very relevant and you need to really do a good job with SEO or like hashtagging and things like that.
Right.
Or you need somebody to write about you.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man, but it's not easy. I can tell you that traffic is like worth so much that this guy sold like a domain name, like an adult domain name for like, what was it? Like $5 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think, porno.com or something. And this guy says he never put any content on there. All he did is put links. And he made money from the traffic that he was sending other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called type-in traffic, you know, whereas people don't really need to find you on search engines. They just type it in, like, let's see what's at porno.com or something, you know.
Yeah.
So that's like the best traffic ever. And so this guy just sat on these things for years.
It's a good business. I've thought about buying domains and just sitting on them because they're like words that are common and somebody will want to buy it.
Yeah, but you know what? It's kind of late now. I mean, all the good ones are gone.
They are taken. Yeah. In fact, now they've got so many different extensions that it's like I don't even know where you end with that because like it's like .com, .info, .net, .org are all like a thing of the past. Now it's like .co, .tv, whatever.
I know. But you know what? The thing is that, I mean, I learned a lot about traffic. I used to have websites and I would drive traffic back and forth. Do you want to go back to your seat or are you okay?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you can change when I'm introducing the guest or unless you want to sit here. It's just not comfortable for me. That's why I always have guests over there. But so you get all this traffic and it's worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So, but back then, you could find good domain names and just sit on them. You know, today it's hard. I also wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, all those extensions like .com, .net and all that stuff, everything other than .com is really worthless because people don't remember .tv, .co.
No.
They're just going to go to .com. So whoever's got the domain with the .com, he's going to get all the traffic that you would have gotten.
Right.
You know, so you have to be careful with that and maybe not go for the perfect name that you want, but stay with the .com because the extension is really the neighborhood you're in. And .com is like the Beverly Hills. If you go into .net, it's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Not many people travel there.
Someone unfortunately has twodrunkgirls.com, so we are .net.
Okay, well, if you push it, then it'll be good. But,
right.
But I wonder how much traffic you're losing to that.
No idea.
Yeah.
We actually don't look at our traffic.
Yeah.
We should.
You just do the fun of it. What the hell, you know?
Well, no, we should. I mean, I think there's just so many places that we have like information out there right now between Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And, you know, our manager is like, drive everybody to YouTube. So we're like, okay. So YouTube's our focus, not our website.
Right.
So now we're pushing our YouTube channel.
Right.
So, well, we can see numbers on that.
Right.
That's obvious.
Exactly. That's why you want to push it because people can see it.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a great idea if you don't have a lot of followers, but
you got to get them somehow.
Yeah, you got to get them somehow, man. But yeah, but it, I don't know if it's cool that they show how many downloads there have been. Only it's cool for the people that have had millions, you know. But if you had like five, it's pretty embarrassing. So I wouldn't even put a video on YouTube if you don't think you're going to get traffic for it.
But you never know. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's get to our guest who's sitting here patiently. And at least the construction's over almost. So... So we're sitting here quietly and everything. Jen, just make sure there's no like dust and stuff because there might be a little bit of dust on your headphones there or something. Okay. So just check that out. And so let's get to our guest. We have Stephen. Hold on a second. Let me bring this up. Steve Spill in the studio. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Good to be here. Thank you, Sam and Jen, for having me.
Yes. Thank you for arriving so early today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I arrived you were in the lucky. Middle of the night. I was here last night. I had the sleeping bag out there.
So right. You would have had to sit outside if we hadn't had the construction this morning because we only get here about 9:30 or so.
I think they were expanding the building for my fans to come in and
exactly.
see me for the
there
studio audience here. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Steve, you're a magician.
Yes, I'm a magician. I for the last 17 years, I've been doing my show at Magicopolis in Santa Monica on 4th Street. And the floating ladies, mind reading, sleight of hand. The shows we have open to the public are Friday and Saturday at 8, Saturday and Sunday at 2. And for those of you who are listeners at the Sam and the Morning and Jen show.
It's a long name.
It is a long name, but it's definitely worth repeating over and over again. I tried to say it five times really fast.
Just say Sam and Jen.
Sam and Jen. Yeah. For the people that make it to the end of the interview, I have an opportunity for people to get some free tickets to our shows this weekend. But they have to wait till the end of the interview because
you want
them to be here at the end of the show.
You want them to listen, so you're teasing it a little
bit. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a tease.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So you've been a magician for 17 years.
No, I've been a magician. I'm 60 years old. I started as a boy.
Really?
Like 5 or 6 years old. I've been doing the show there.
There for 17
in
years.
In a theater I designed, built, and operate, kind of like you do with the radio station here.
Very cool.
Yeah, a little bit artist, a little bit entrepreneur or business person.
So it is yours, the Magicopolis.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that's in Santa Monica?
It's in Santa Monica on 4th Street between Broadway and Santa Monica Boulevard, right there in block from the promenade.
So it's just a place where magicians come, right? Something like the Magic Castle?
It's not exactly like the Magic Castle. It's a larger, it's a 10,000 square foot space.
Oh, really? So it's a larger
place. We have a couple
of... Oh, sorry.
The main theater is 150 seats. The show's about 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the magician. So I do my show there, and have been since 98.
So only you do the shows there?
Yeah. Actually, it's a mom-and-pop deal. I do the show with my wife, Bozina, who couldn't be here today, but darn, too bad. I wish she could have. She doesn't get up this early, you know?
Yeah.
I know it seems like the crack of 10 here, but when you live on the west side, to drive in there and make it here by 10 to 10 is, like you said, I had to have a little bit of coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't delivered. Do they deliver that right to your house?
No, I mean, it's pods that they deliver.
The pods?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds so scientific.
Not the coffee cups themselves.
Right.
It's not
brewed coffee that shows up.
Gotcha. Too bad. I thought maybe you had a manservant to do that.
I wish. I wish the minute my eyes popped open that there was coffee just handed to me.
Yeah, and then be cool. Keep the eyes open with the toothpicks and everything would be good. Yeah.
But they do have those self-starting machines where you can set it up on a timer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, by the time you get up, it'll be ready for you.
Yeah, mine doesn't. It's like 3 buttons and that's it.
Yeah. But no, they have machines with capsules and all kinds of different coffee. So
good to know.
So that's what you get. How much do those capsules cost you? Do you know, like each?
I don't know. I got a box of like 16 pods and it's $17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's about a buck.
Yeah.
So, wow.
That's a lot less expensive than a ticket to Magicopolis. You know, it's only $34 a ticket for the show. But I was hoping to tell you about my book, I Lie for Money, Candid Outrageous Stories.
Yeah, we'll get to all
magicians
that. Yeah, we'll pace it.
More about coffee.
To the book and everything.
Okay.
But so a little background on you. Are you from L.A. originally?
I'm originally from San Francisco. I grew up in the L.A. area. And I became interested in magic as a boy. I grew up around the Magic Castle. And
here in L.A., right?
Here in L.A., yes.
Okay.
And I started doing shows when I was very young. In fact, I don't know how long you've been in L.A., but when I was about 10, I was a paper boy. I used to deliver the green sheet.
Really?
The L.A. green sheet, formerly now the Daily News.
Uh-huh.
And I used to get the 74 newspapers in the morning and fold them up. And one day I was adding a supplement for Jake's Jug, which is a local liquor store at the time. And it occurred to me it'd be a great idea to stuff those with flyers for a famous boy magician, a 10-year-old magician, and maybe someone on my route would
what
be
an idea. Wow.
Yeah. So I, with carbon paper, you remember that. It's like four smeary purple ink copies at a time. I got the 74 flyers, you know, famous boy magician available for special occasions, and I put them in newspapers, and I was lucky enough to get a call.
Wow.
Yeah, and the lady tells me that she's having a beauty on a budget party. It was like a Tupperware party where they sell makeup and everything. Uh-huh. And she thinks, oh, you know, magic tricks would be great. How much will you charge? You know, I'm 10. I'm, you know, thinking, said $3. You know, this is around 1965 or something. You know, so I go there, and there's like a few women putting, you know, taking the bags out from under their eyes with the makeup and putting lipstick and squirting perfume on each other.
And you remember all that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Absolutely. I was 10. So I'm doing some tricks. And then all of a sudden, everyone leaves, and I want my $3. And the lady says, well, you know, the ladies didn't buy anything. I don't have any money to, you know. Why don't you just take this rouge, you know? And I go, what am I going to do? Well, you're in show business now. You need some professional makeup. You know? She gave me some eyeliner and some other stuff. And I was on the road to fame and fortune. That was
very
one of my
cool
first paid performances. You know, I get paid in makeup, you know.
Now, how did you become interested in magic? Do you remember that moment, or was it something you always were attracted to?
You know, I first became interested from my dad. My grandfather was a tailor in San Francisco, and in the early 1900s, he sewed some secret pockets in a magician's tuxedo. Uh-huh. And the magician was in, you know, liked the tailoring, and he taught him a couple of magic tricks. And my grandfather taught those tricks to my father, and my father taught them to me. And
wow.
So it kind of, that's how it got passed on, you know.
Yeah. But they weren't really interested in magic for profession, right? Or were they?
Well, you know, my dad did a few tricks, and he ended up. He was in early television. He started in radio, and like you. And then when television was invented, he got into television. He moved down here, and in his auditions and pitches and so on, meetings and so on, he ran into a fellow named Bill Larson, who was starting a magic club in Los Angeles, the Magic Castle. He was mm-hmm. also a TV guy. And he became a host and a manager of the Magic Castle. And I grew up meeting all these old guys that were magicians from the vaudeville and supper club era that I learned from.
You know? Wow.
And it was great. Cool. They kind of accepted me as an adult almost, even though I was a kid.
Uh-huh. That's very good. So they actually encourage young talent and stuff, I imagine, right? That's like the next generation of magicians.
Yeah, well, at that time, magic was really dormant. There was these guys all sort of found a way to make a living without working. Were hanging around there, and there weren't really any working magicians. And all these guys were 70, 80 years old.
Wow.
And you know, I was 12, 13 years old, and I learned a little bit of something from every one of them. Each one had a different story, an anecdote, a way of doing things, and it was like a sponge. It all went into my mental bank and eventually started coming out, and the mixture of all those little different things and my own personality gave me something sort of original.
Yeah. Now, wasn't it tough to do the magic with, I mean, you were young, so you had small hands. Was that like a hindrance for you?
You know, I used to practice a lot, and there are a lot of things that, I did a lot of sleight of hand. That's one of the many methods that are used in magic, probably the one that's most associated. But, you know, there are all kinds of other elements of presentation and clever carpentry and gimmicks and so on that make magic work.
Right. So you need the props, right? I mean, those come in handy. It's all, I mean, because people think, you know, magic, it's like, wow, you know, this is unbelievable. But obviously, it's all tricks.
Well, it's all tricks. The idea of the magic is give you the feeling of those tricks of what
right.
it might be like if there was real magic.
Right.
And one of the things that I really love about magic is the lying, those kind of dyslexic displays of honesty that, you know, range from the tiny little manipulative untruths to the big fat in-your-face lies. And
right.
when you're a professional magician, though, it's, you know, you get to lie without the guilt or unpleasant consequences, And frankly, we enjoy the thrill of getting away with it. And I think the presentation is every bit as important as well, the sleight of hand or the other things that make the magic.
Yeah, because you're a performer. I mean, you have to be up there. I mean, people are looking at you. They're expecting things from you, and obviously you're under the spotlight there. So you grew up with this. Now, did you learn tricks on your own? I mean, you said some of these elders taught you some things, but how did you? What was the main source of your?
Well, you know, I developed a lot of tricks on my own. Get to a point. Oh yeah, absolutely. And in fact, in the book, there are a lot of failed attempts of things that I invented that didn't, work out so good. And when I say work out so good, not that the trick didn't work, but you get the props together, you write a script, you figure out a presentation, and whatever you think or whatever your wife or girlfriend thinks doesn't really matter. It's doing it in front of an audience of people and making it work for strangers. And if they think it's funny and amazing, then it's a keeper. Right. So there are a lot of things that I worked out that weren't keepers. And one of the chapters is at one point I developed a small spool of thread that would fit in your nostril so I could pretend like I was going to pull out a nose hair and it would be like 10 feet long. And I'd keep pulling, and I thought it was hilarious. But it was not a crowd pleaser. That was one of the failed ones that didn't work out, but I still thought it was poetic enough to include in the book.
Yeah. I mean, I just played around with magic a little bit. Bought a few tricks and stuff. And no, I mean, nothing good at all. I was very bad at it, but I tried a few tricks. And I think you get a feeling of a certain power, don't you? You feel like, wow, I know something that these people don't, and I can make them really appreciate this.
Well, I'm not sure this is exactly what you meant, but one of the things that I enjoy about magic is the built-in irony that things look one way and they're really another way.
Right.
And that's kind of how the tricks work. In fact, I think growing up, that's why I liked a lot of the shows like Twilight Zone. And you'd get to the very end and then all of a sudden it was completely different.
Right, like a twist.
Yeah. But you said you tried a few tricks. I don't know if you... nobody makes a living at being a magician by accident. You got to want it really, really pretty bad.
I'm sure
doing the radio,
Yeah. No, I never aspired to be a magician professionally. But like I said, I really like magic. I think most people do, right, Jen? Do you like magic?
I do, but I don't know that everyone loves it the way I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I get very excited by it. Like the fact that I am, tricked. I don't know that I'm trying to figure it out, and then I'm like, wow, my mind is blown.
Yeah.
And then I'm always constantly trying to figure it out, and I'm like frustrated. I want to know, and I'll ask the magician, like, tell me. And I mean, I don't know, everybody, it feels the same way. I don't think all my girlfriends
I think most people, I have that feeling as well, like, damn, I want to know how he's doing this.
Right.
I think it's a normal reaction.
You know, the secrets are generally not very beautiful.
Right.
They're not really sexy like you think.
I know.
It's all, hot glue and tape and,
Right.
It's really the presentation of the magician that makes the magic, not so much the trick itself. And in fact, the interpretation is really what makes just like you get here, two people sing the same song and it comes out different.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That's kind of the... which I hope both of you will have a chance to come to the show.
I'm planning on it. So, we're talking to Steve Spill. He does magic at the Magicopolis, which is here in Santa Monica. Do you ever travel for your magic?
I traveled 25 years before I opened Magicopolis. I worked all over Europe, Asia, Africa, the Caribbean, Tahoe, Reno, Las Vegas, Atlantic City, and so on. And I was about 40 years old when it occurred to me that I maybe could stay in one place and have the audiences find me instead of going around to find all the different audiences.
Right.
So that's when I started working on building the theater and so on. So
very cool.
So cool.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this would be quite a big deal to build a theater and things like this. How did you go about this? Did you have investors? Did you have money saved up? How does it work?
Well, a little bit of each. At the beginning, I did have some investors. I formed a company, and I sold 20% of the company to raise some additional funds. It was a seven-figure investment doing the place. I got the building. We gutted the building. Built the inside with parts of other buildings that were being torn down and renovated. So the seats are from the 20s. They used to be an Orpheum Theater and then a monastery before I got them. And, you know, I got a lot of used parts from other buildings. A lot of time to do that because in Santa Monica it takes a year to get approved for the... you got to get a CUP, you know, to build a new project and so on. And then it took 6 months to build. So I got a year to be approved from when I got the space, and then 6 months to build it. And we opened in 1998. It was very exciting. We had at the opening a lot of celebrities, and Penn and Teller did the show that night. And
wow.
So it was a lot of fun. And
very cool. Did you always feel that you wanted to have like your own place, your own theater?
No, took me a lot. You know, I didn't start thinking about it till I was 40. Yeah, I had traveled for a long time. Had I not grown up around the Magic Castle, I probably wouldn't have thought it would be possible to do something like that.
Yeah.
On the face of the earth today, there's probably half a dozen, you know, magic theaters that are owned and operated by the magician, so not too many. And in order to do that, probably the same as you doing the radio station, you've got to be equal parts dictator and diplomat. You've got to be both the, you know, astonishing magician and visionary storyteller on stage and the guy shoveling the raw sewage in the middle of the night because no one else would and everything would be lost if you didn't get it done.
Yeah.
So you got to be kind of the extravagant artist and the penny-pinching jerk at the same time.
That's true.
It's, it's not always easy, not always fun. It's not...
Running a business is not as much fun as it seems sometimes because there's so much going on behind the scenes that you may not want to deal with.
But it's what it takes to share your vision with, you know, those that want to see it.
Exactly. So you do it and you persist, you know. Yeah. So you're saying that your wife is part of your act, right?
Yes. She's part a co-star, not really an assistant, a co-star.
Oh, my co-star. Wife, so she does magic too?
She does a few solo bits, and we do a lot of sketches together that culminate in the trick. The floating ladies, the psychiatrist office scene where the magician myself falls in love with the patient. That's my wife. And... you know, at the end, you don't really see him making love, but you see her making her float, you know. And so we have a number of scenes, and she's been in a lot of movies and TV shows and so on. And she has a real skill for doing sketches and playing different characters. I pretty much just play myself. Right. But she can be, a seance medium or a vampire or a Russian spy or something, and I can still be myself and as the magician.
So that's cool. So you put on like a whole show, a whole story. It's not just like you come up and do your magic and leave.
Exactly, like right. Well, you know, we have a lot of things that are the sketches, but we also have other things that are observational or, autobiographical or so on, or philosophical. And we use the magic as a vehicle of expression. You know, so pretty much most of the things that happen, we have something to say or they're illustrating something we want to share.
Right. Sounds good. Now, did you bring a couple of tricks with you to show us?
I can do a couple of tricks for you. I'm not sure how well they'd come across on the radio.
That's okay. But, we'll describe it.
Oh, you'll describe it. Okay.
Yeah, but we'd like to see something.
Okay. Well, you know what? I didn't really bring anything, but I'm going to do something for you anyway.
Okay.
I have a piece of paper. I'm going to tear it in half.
Right.
Now, could you hear that?
Yeah.
Now, you don't carry cards with you or anything?
You know, I could get a deck of cards. Would you prefer to see a card trick instead of a pick with a piece of paper?
It's okay if you don't have one.
All right. Well, Jen, I want you to take both of those pieces of paper, crumble them into little balls. Okay, do that. Really, all really tight little balls. And while she's doing that, I will make a deck of cards appear. And and then now crumble this one into a little ball.
Okay, so we have two pieces of paper.
Crumbled into little balls.
Right,
balls.
Right. And I want you to hold out your hand like this. Okay, good. And then which one do you want, the white one or the white one? They're both white pieces of paper.
Yep. White pieces of paper.
White one.
Okay, I'm going to take this one. Hold on tight. Close your hand real tight. Not on my fingers. Did you feel it disappear? Oh, wait. Mine disappeared.
Oh.
You didn't take it, did you?
No, I didn't.
Say maybe.
Maybe.
Open your hand. Yeah, see? Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Anyway, so that was kind of an impromptu kind of thing. But if you really...
Wait, that's so crazy. Can I tell the audience how crazy that was? Because, I mean, clearly my eyes were closed and my hand was also closed. I did not feel anything happen to my hand, and then there were two balls in my hand.
Wow. Was there a deja vu there about the two balls in your hand?
Yes, definitely.
You know, I see Sam laughing a lot. Was that who you had in mind while you were saying that?
No.
But your question made me laugh.
Oh, okay.
Well, my mind always goes there, you know, so.
I can see that. Take your hand out of your pocket there.
Yeah.
You keep it up, you go blind, really.
So she picked up one ball and she ended up with two in her hand. That's amazing.
Very keen observation on your part. That was good.
I need to know how it happened.
Oh, well, I can tell you for a certain price. I don't know what that is, but, you know, perhaps after the show.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask you about. There's a certain code when you become a magician. You're not going to give away your tricks. I mean, this is like giving away how you do things. This is like your profession.
Yeah. Right? You know, there's really only maybe half a dozen basic tricks. And everything else is a variation. Mm. You know how there's a certain amount of notes, you know, 28 notes in the scale in music.
Right.
In magic, you can make something appear or disappear or float or so on. And most of the classic tricks, there are many, many dozens, if not hundreds, of methods to do. And a lot of them are available to people that are interested in the public library or in magic books and so on.
Right.
Yeah.
And I find that even with a book, it's hard. You know, even when you watch a video, it's not easy being a magician. They make it look easy, but it's not, man. You really have to be good.
I think in any art form, whether it's pottery or painting or acting, making it look easy usually means they spent a lot of time figuring that out, you know, doing that.
Pro.
So, yeah.
Very cool. So now, what are some of the tricks that you perform on stage? You said you make people float. You make your wife float on stage?
I do. We also have a dangerous escape where there's 39 sharpened steel spikes suspended above me, and they're attached to a burning rope, and I'm chained to a metal table beneath those spikes, and there's seconds to escape before they crash down on me. And there's a lot of mind-reading sort of tricks in the show. We have a lot of we squish my wife till she's 18 feet tall. We cut her in half. We torture her in various different ways. She vanishes. She appears in the audience, and so on. So.
Wow, that's amazing stuff. You know, I don't know. I mean, look, there's some tricks that are like clearly, you know, like stage, like when they do things on TV, like, you know, when David Copperfield made the Statue of Liberty disappear and stuff, that has to do with camera and props and things like that, right? That's not like, that's not something he could do while you were standing there.
Well, actually, that particular trick he did with a live audience sitting there. They weren't standing.
Right.
And there are certainly magicians on TV that take liberties in terms of the point of view or, you know, with camera trickery and so on.
Right.
And there's a big, you know, a lot of the magicians that are not on TV don't feel that's really a fair representation of their work, you know.
Right. And that's what I feel, too. You know, I mean, the raw magic is when you can sit right next to him. And
I like that raw magic. That sounds like organic or something. Yeah,
yeah,
like the organic magic.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
natural.
As opposed to a staged magic, let's say.
Well, staged magic is alive and in person. I think you were talking about TV magic.
I said staged.
Oh, staged.
Staged. Yeah. Like when they make it like, you know, when they use the fact that you're not there.
It's like special effects.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Bewitched or, you know, something like that. Yeah. I dream of genie magic. Yeah. Yeah. Almost anybody could do that, right?
So now I can see the picture on your... on your website with all those blades and stuff. Wow.
Oh, that's you're on the website.
I
didn't have the privilege to see that you're on there. What strikes you as being...
No, so for those of you just joining us, we're talking to Steve Spill. He's an experienced, to say the least, magician, and he's got a website called magicopolis.com. You guys can go there and check it out.
Not .net, not .org, not .TV. What were the other ones you were saying?
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
Magicopolis, and you managed to get a one-word domain. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I when I was searching for a name to think of my to name my theater. I, you know, the Magic Castle was already taken. And so I wanted to, I made up a name that would be trademarkable, and that's Magicopolis. It means City of Magic. So the kind of
makes
the opolis.
Yeah, very cool.
We have also a bar and a magic store, and so you can get drunk before. In fact, the more you drink, the better the tricks look. I noticed earlier it's saying you were a big drinker, right?
Yeah, well, not really, but sort of.
Coffee. Well, you know, you could get some coffee,
she
too.
She drinks for fun.
Yeah, with the pods. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So, now, in your, I know the Magic Castle, they also teach people how to be magicians, right? Do you do the same thing as well? Do you have any?
Is that what your book is about?
No, that's not what the book is about. The book is more of a memoir, but it is kind of aimed at people that want to craft a self-directed, creative life, whether it's an actor, a painter, what have you. And so there's some entrepreneurial stories, a lot of funny things that have happened to me along the way from becoming interested in magic right up until the book was written, which is, you know, this year. Yeah.
Right. So, but other than the book, do you have any workshops or anything for magicians?
We don't. We have a magic store, and after the show, when a couple hundred people are coming out of the theater, a lot of them would like a souvenir to go home with a trick they can do. Right. And we have simple to do tricks that anybody could master to be the life of the party, popular on the playground, you know, overcome shyness, break up that workaday job, you know, like you were thinking of doing a couple of tricks for your guests here.
So. Yeah, I know.
And we teach those tricks. If you buy them, we teach them, or you can read the instructions, you know.
So. Yeah, I know. I bought a couple of magic tricks over at the Venetian, I think, when I was in Vegas. And there was one that was fascinating to me because they made the card, the playing card, just spin in the air. And I'm like, I got to be able to do this because people are just like, their mouths drop, you know. And
how did you do with that? This. Were you able to do it?
It's hard, you know, because it's got that little thin thread and it's just,
I mean, you know, the thing is this. In Vegas, when you buy a magic trick at a store, everyone knows you're leaving the next day, okay? So the tricks that we you know, sell, you can actually do them. They're easier than that.
Right.
And you know, if they only sold those to people that lived in Vegas, they'd get a lot of returns. But they're all for tourists. They know they're leaving the next day. And you don't realize it takes a lot of practice.
Right.
The ones we specialize, that we sell, are ones that anybody could do. You know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You need a lot of practice, I think, just like in any other profession, to be very good at it.
Yeah, you know? Well, those guys got very good at selling the trick. And,
And
you bought it.
But they did pretty good. Yeah. But I think, you know, if you have the patience for it, I'm just an impatient person. So, you know, forget about learning magic and stuff. But I'm very fascinated by it. So let's talk about the book. What's the book called?
It's called I Lie for Money, Candid Outrageous Stories from a Magician's Misadventures. It covers everything from my childhood, from going to Europe and Africa and doing magic tricks and hanging out with celebrities and so on like that. I know she saw me swinging my foot there. I was just trying to get a pace there for talking, you know. I was kind of, but she, I can tell she likes magic. She's sort of breaking out in cold sweat being near me. We didn't even do any of the tricks. She's still thinking about that. That's what I like about Jen.
Yeah.
I've been a big, big fan of hers for some time now. So. Or at least for, what time did this start? Yeah. How long have we been on here?
That's 35 minutes.
Oh, good, good. So we have a little bit of time to go. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so, I mean, you've got pictures with just about any A-list celebrity on your website as well.
I'm hoping to include you and Jen on there soon, too.
There you go. You know, when we make it big, you can put. Right now, we don't belong in this company of Jack Black and Chris Rock.
I don't speak for yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll put Jen right between Jack Black and Chris Rock. Right. It'll be a Jack Black, Chris Rock sandwich.
Perfect.
Yeah. Joan Rivers and everybody. So, I mean, how did you... how do you
most
do
of
you
those people came to the show.
They come to the show.
Yeah, they're in the audience, and then after we snap the picture with them. If some of the people, like you mentioned, Joan Rivers, I did a couple of days on camera with her on a show she had maybe about a year before she passed away. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like Sting or other people, I did shows with at Magic. In fact, Sting, he opened for me actually at Magicopolis.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of
what
it was
an
a,
honor. Man.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a. It was a music industry thing to promote some new artists.
Right.
And they knew that all the journalists and everything wouldn't come to see these unheard of, unknown artists.
Right.
So they had Sting, you know, and that brought out all the crowd of reviewers and everything.
Yeah.
And then while they were changing the band equipment from Sting to the new breaking artists, I did my show to kind of cover that time. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure any of the people ever heard of me either, but I was able to hold the crowd there until they showcased the new people.
Yeah.
And he was, by the way, a very great, sweet man. I've seen him once since. He lives in Malibu, so he's not too far away. So
yeah.
Santa Monica, yeah.
Now, have you done some of the, let's say, for lack of a better word, the bigger tricks like walking on water and things like that? Are you able to do this?
Well, as I said, we close every show with a trick that weighs 1 ton. It's 39 sharpened steel spikes, the burning rope. I escape, as I mentioned to you. So,
right.
Yeah. All of the shows, that we, the tricks that we do are in the theater.
Right.
Yeah. So,
right.
You know, if that doesn't fit on the 44-foot stage,
right.
You know, I don't have any airplanes or the Statue of Liberty or anything like that.
Or a pool, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a pool, but I can't bring it to the theater nightly to do the show. Yeah. Yeah.
That's very cool. So we have a very good magician here in the studio, very fascinating. Do you have another trick, like maybe with the cards that you can show us? Something
sure.
Good?
I have.
Because the other day we had a magician that did
who was the magician?
Well, he did it with an invisible deck.
Yes.
Oh, the invisible deck. Yeah, that's a great trick. Yeah.
So,
which, by the way, it was still so crazy that he knew the number or the card.
So you were serious
of.
About it?
Yes.
Really?
I didn't lie.
Wow.
He knew.
I thought maybe you had like an inside joke
no.
or something.
Okay. That was the first time ever.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Can't discredit his magic.
Well, you know what?
I'm not going to put you on the spot. Show us the tricks you're good with.
Oh, I do all kinds of tricks. I'm a general practitioner. Now, if I move away from the microphone, you won't really be able to hear me.
It's okay. We'll hear you.
Oh, okay.
We'll hear you.
Oh, okay. Fine. So here, you should help me, right, Sam? Actually.
Okay.
Is he helping? So reach. Oh, you could check them out. Make sure they look okay. Take a good look.
Okay.
This could be your only chance.
Look
okay,
at
that's
the cards.
Enough. Give me those. We don't have time for that.
Okay,
right.
I'm not going to pass.
Yeah, he's got
that's
yeah.
part of the performance.
Part
right?
of the performance.
Is the talking and stuff.
I could do it silent, but I don't think it'd come across so good on radio.
Yeah, besides, I don't
see if you
can
hear this.
Figure it out.
Could you hear that on the radio? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Shuffling.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good shuffle you did there, Sam. Now hand them back to me. All right, reach in there and grab one. A lot of the tricks start like this. They all end different.
Okay.
Take a look at it, Sam. Show Jen. I won't look. I've seen the trick before.
Okay.
All right, drop it in here. Put it in there somewhere. That looks good. I cheat. Sam, name any number from 1 to 40. One number, Sam. What is it?
3.
No one's ever named 3. I'll see if we can do it. I think we've got it. I'm going to hand you the deck.
Okay.
Count down to the third card. You'll see the one that you looked at. Jen, did you get to see the card? I know I've got it on my mind. All right, take out the same one you showed everyone. We'll try it again because I said you'd see it.
Oh, God. He's got it on his glasses.
Oh, wait, hold on there. I can see
wow,
you.
I can
see you.
Find anything.
Figured that out right away, yeah. All right, Jen, I want you to write your name. It turns out to be on the Queen of Hearts.
Jen, did you put the card there? No, huh?
I mean, I saw him put it on his eye, but I didn't see how he got it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So
you know,
my
the
name
thing
on
is,
here?
Is that. Yeah, put your name on there and then put your phone number right underneath. I'm just kidding. Oh, she did it. It's an 800 number. Great. Well, you know, the reason I had you sign your name is a lot of people see this trick and they think there might be more than one Queen of Hearts. You didn't sign any other ones, did you?
Nope.
All right. I wait till you're not looking, but you could look. And the weird thing on this trick, when I go like that, Jen's card comes to the top. I'm going to do it again. You're not sure. We wait 2 seconds. Comes back up to the top. Hasn't
the top again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. Very crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Oh, it's
that's
just
the
a
point.
Trick.
I'm watching.
Yeah,
I'm watching so intently,
well, you know how
too.
It works is that I have another card in my pocket that has your name. And when you're not looking, I sneak it in really quick.
Stop it. I can't understand. I love magic.
Yeah. Guys, can I keep you here for 2 seconds? Do you mind? They need to ask me a question real quick.
Okay.
So you interview him.
Great.
Can you handle that?
Yes.
Okay.
Here
I'm
it
sorry.
Is. Professional radio they're at its best.
I told
somebody
you.
Somebody wants to. No. They're doing some
unexpected.
Construction here. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he wants to know whether to use the spackle or the mix the plaster or cement.
Yeah. They need
or
to
something.
Ask me questions.
All
so
right.
I'll be right back, guys.
Great.
Just go ahead and chat about
awesome.
The weather.
Oh, okay.
About
hey, you know, this would be a great opportunity to let everybody know that if you would like a ticket to our show this weekend, that's Friday or Saturday at 8 p.m. or Saturday or Sunday at 2 p.m., I have 10 pairs of tickets to give away to each of those performances for the Sam and Jen listeners. And how you can get those is you can email me, Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at magicopolis.com. Magicopolis is M-A-G-I-C-O-P-O-L-I-S. If you email me before 5 o'clock on Thursday, that's tomorrow, I will be able to accommodate you, schedule or you know, space permitting. So get those emails to me right away.
That is very exciting. People go out and do that. I would if I'm just busy this weekend. Otherwise, I would definitely get on that.
Yeah. And if you come early, we have a great magician in the bar doing magic tricks before the show. And it's a two-hour show. We would love to have you. And incidentally, if you go on Amazon and you type in I Lie for Money by Steve Spill, the book doesn't come out till May 12th. But if you buy it through Amazon in advance, there's an $8 discount. For pre-orders, and now would be a good time to get on that. In fact, right away would be great.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, and it's a great book.
We $8 off? What does it sell for regularly?
It's $25.99 or something like that, somewhere in there. You know, it's a hardcover book. It's whatever it's put out by Skyhorse Publishing in New York. It'll be in stores nationwide May 12th, and in the UK and Canada in June. So we're looking. Oh, look at that. Sam is already back.
You made him reappear.
I'm back.
That's right. I do
tricks.
He's
such a great magician, this guy, I'm telling you. So so cool. Just finish what you were saying.
I was saying two things. One, I was telling everybody that they ought to come to the show this weekend, and I have some complimentary free tickets for Sam and Jen listeners. And it's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at magicopolis.com. Email me before 5 o'clock on Thursday. That's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if we have room, I will be able to accommodate you and your guests. And then while you were gone, I was telling everybody about the big $8 discount from Skyhorse Publishing. My book, I Lie for Money, if you go on Amazon, it doesn't come out until the 12th of May. But if you buy it now, there's an $8 discount from the publisher. And the book, as they say, will be in stores nationwide May 12th. And in Canada and the UK in June.
Wow. Very cool. So you said that there are anecdotes about your childhood in there and how you got started. What else can people learn from this book?
They can learn how they can create a self-directed, independent, creative life of their own, whether they're a painter, a sculptor, probably not a doctor or an attorney. But, you know, you can learn how to, if you want to kind of be self-employed and learn how to make it in professions that are not always easy to make it in. You know, like yourself. How many people really do a radio show and own their own radio station?
Yeah, not many, right?
I think you ought to write a book, too. You could be I Talk for Money or something.
Yeah. I know. It's a great title. Now, do you teach any tricks in the book at all?
You know, there are a few secrets revealed. It's not really an instructional how-to book.
Right.
But in order to appreciate some of the anecdotal material in there, you need to know kind of the secret. There's not enough really. I think it gives people the impression that they're getting let in on a big secret, but really they're learning nothing. It helps them understand some of the behind-the-scenes things that are described in the book.
Right. Very fascinating. Well, congratulations on the book, I'm sure. How long did it take you to put it together?
You know, it took me 9 months to write. Actually, what happened was this. The Santa Monica Museum of Art had a display how different fine artists looked at the craft of magic. And they had, you know, paintings and sculptures and so on. And as part of the ongoing activities, as part of the exhibit, one of the days I was asked to do a speech on the journey of a magician. And I did that speech from notes, and it seemed to be received well. And after, I took some of those notes and expanded them into a few articles, which were published. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a comedy writer, who had recently sold a book to Skyhorse Publishing. Mm-hmm. He read one of my articles. He said, "Hey, did you ever think about writing a book?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And so, you know, the thing is, it almost didn't happen. He turned in those, he sent a link to those stories to his editor, and they made me an offer. But I have a very high filter on my email, steve@magicopolis.com, and it was filtered out. So like December 2013, they're trying to get hold of me, and I didn't respond because I never got the email.
Wow.
A couple of months later, my friend's calling me saying, "What are you playing hard to get?" You know, they're wondering why you didn't respond to their offer, you know. So finally, they got hold of me. I had 9 months to write the book. And the last several weeks, you work with an editor who helps you, in my case, trim down 89,000 words to a breezy 60,000-word read. I think the editor is a big help probably to any writer, especially one like myself that was a first-time published author. So,
right. Did you have a mentor or something when you were learning some of these difficult tricks, let's say the levitation and all that?
Well, that came much later. I mean, you know, when I was a boy, I had eight favorite magicians. They're the men I loved as a boy, you know. I was on their coattails, and each of them had a different sort of discipline or thing that I learned from. One of them, his name was Kuda Bucks, and he was great at mind reading, and he was the kind of guy that was blindfolded and you know, drove around in the city looking for a hidden needle, you know, as a publicity stunt. He was one of the early guys to walk on hot coals. He could stop his pulse. One of the other fellows, Di Vernon, was a card expert and knew all the gambling cheat methods and so on. Yeah. So I learned a lot from a lot of different people, and in the book I describe eight of my favorite, as I describe the men I have loved, you know.
Sounds good. Well, the book is I Lie for Money. Steve Spill, check it out, and also go to magicopolis.com. You can find all the information. There's videos, there's everything here, and you're definitely a very fascinating guy.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Thank you,
Jen,
for joining
Sam,
us.
Sam, you're the best. Love
Thank
you madly.
Very much. And so everybody write, what's your email address again?
It's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, at magicopolis.com. Write me before Thursday, 5 o'clock, and I will get you some tickets. I'll take care of you for listening to Sam and Jen this
Sounds
weekend,
good.
Friday or Saturday, 8, Saturday and Sunday at 2, Magicopolis, Santa Monica.
And do we get free tickets too?
You guys have carte blanche. You have free tickets between right. now and the end of the millennium.
Amazing. Wow. Thank
wow.
you.
All that right. was worth it. Definitely was worth bringing you here just for that. I love magic. I'm going to come and see you within the next week or so.
Great.
So I'll come and say hi.
Look forward to seeing you.
Awesome. Steve Spill, thank you so much. Jen, thanks for bearing with the construction here.
And no problem.
Having to play musical chairs and everything. But you got to see a couple of magic tricks, and that was worth it.
Yes.
Right? All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.